Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, I'm telling you, you missed a powerful first hour discussion. My guest was Tricia Lott Williford. I've had her on before. She lost her husband in her early 30s. He got sick and died within a matter of 12 hours. And she's got such wisdom to share about honoring our relationships, about being thankful, even though our relationships can be so imperfect. And oh my goodness, you've got to go back and catch the podcast. We'll have that up in a little bit, myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to switch gears. In this hour, we're going to talk about what it means to be wise. This is one of my speaking messages, and I hear enough from people to say, you know, I want this on recording so that I can send it out. So this way you can maybe send it out by Facebook, email, Twitter, if you've got a friend who needs to hear this. But I just studied on wisdom because I was so interested in it. So I'm so clever. I'm going to use the word wise as an acronym and unpack different aspects of wisdom. But as soon as I started to think about and praying about the idea of wisdom, the first passage that came to mind was this one, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowing the Holy One results in understanding. So to have a healthy fear and a holy awe of God who made us, that's just the beginning of wisdom. So though we're invited to intimately know God, we must never lose sight of the fact that the earth trembles in his presence, that he's coming again to judge the living and the dead, and that every single one of us will one day give an account for how we lived our lives. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And the truth of that matter is some will be involuntary, others will be voluntary. We'll, as Christ followers, will go to our knees gladly because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has returned. But others will fall to their knees because he is God, and every knee will one day bow and confess that he is Lord. So to remember God's greatness and awesome power is just to put our toes on the edges of wisdom. I want you to think about that because he does deserve our honor. He wants us to walk intimately with him, but he's not just a fishing buddy. You know, he's not just this buddy that we are so casual with. We forget that Jesus is the Son of God, part of the Trinity. He put the stars in place. He is the Word. And we've got to remember who he is so that we can walk in the truth of who he is. I often say that I have one of the best bosses, really the best boss I've ever had. Name is Dick Whitworth. He's general manager of Faith Radio Network. And when we have our share events, the gloves come off and he allows us to banter quite freely and we laugh pretty hard. But I still remember that he's my boss. But I got to tell you just some of the funny stories behind the scenes. You know, he used to be a pastor for a number of years. And he knows that I'm on the road speaking a couple weekends a month during the fall and the spring seasons. And one day, I was just battling through my message. I was hitting a roadblock, and I plopped down in the chair in his office, and he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I'm just stuck, and I'm trying to explain. I didn't know where to go from here in this message." And he said, "Oh, you should just do what I used to do." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "I've just write in the margin, weak point, shout here." I love that. Weak point, shout here. And it makes it sound like a strong point. I thought that was hilarious. Well, if you know me at all, if you listen often enough, you know I'm a pretty task-oriented person. I'm on task, and I don't distract very easily. And so you can imagine how bad I felt one day when I missed an email from him, and it, which caused me to drop the ball on something. And I'm just saying, guilt is the gift that keeps on giving, because I felt so bad that I said I was sorry 100 times. And he's like, "It's all right. It's not that big of a deal." But I felt so bad. So I went to the grocery store, went to Byerly's, and I got a cupcake, a carrot cake cupcake with beautiful frosting and a nice little design on the top. I walk into his office. I set it on his desk, and I said, "This is for being an idiot." And he said, do you want to back out and try that again? And I said, more than I can tell you. I'm telling you, I'm so grateful that he has a sense of humor, because I meant this is because I'm an idiot. But when I said this is for being an idiot, you can imagine what that sounded like. Well, I do have a fun bantering relationship with him, and he's a man of God, and he's got a great sense of humor. But the fact is, he is still my boss, and I know that I need to honor and respect him, and I do. And I just was thinking about that in terms of when we fear the Lord, he invites us into his inner court. And the Bible says we can be assured of his glad welcome. We can run boldly and confidently in his presence. But the Bible also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here, think about this. When we appropriately honor God for who he is, we'll begin to experience him in a way we never would have otherwise. So if you've really approached God casually, if you sort of pray while you're doing everything else, and we are called to pray at all times, but if there's never times where you just stop what you're doing, and even before you pray, remember who it is you're talking to, you're going to miss out on a certain aspect of God that is so important, and it will impact your relationship deeply when you start to remember who he is. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it properly translates into this: holy reverence, awe, and in some cases, even a holy terror, which some are going to know a holy terror when he returns. But to have a holy reverence and an awe, you want to change your prayer life. I'm telling you, stop before you pray and remember this God that you're speaking to is the God who put the stars in place. This is the God that the earth trembles when he speaks, and at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the ocean can be seen. And remember again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what's wisdom? Well, it breaks down this way: skill, aptitude, good sense, war skill, godliness, worldly wisdom, and experience. I want you to think about that. When you start to fear God appropriately, you start to grow in a wisdom in a way that really equips you to live out your everyday life, gives you a higher aptitude, an understanding, some good sense, and even war skill. I thought that was so interesting. James 4:7 says this: submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And maybe you've heard me unpack that verse on the show before. I just think it's amazing. Submit to God is a military term, and it means get back in rank. Well, we really subject ourselves to all kinds of enemy attack, and then sometimes we get mad at God or we blame him for it, when really we're the ones who've gotten out of rank. So how do you get out of rank? You get ahead of God. You get an attitude. You hold a grudge. You stop being grateful. And so if you're really taking all kinds of enemy fire, you can't really fight him on your own. You've got to step back and go, Lord, am I out of line in any way? Well, Lord, I submit my will to you again. Lord, I've been running ahead. Forgive me. God, I've been mad that you haven't promoted me yet. Forgive me. Your timing is best for me. You're protective of me. You're invested in me. I'm going to submit all of my will to you. Well, suddenly when you get back in rank, suddenly then you have authority. So here's the verse again: submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, scripture talks about that he's like a roaring lion. He's going after us, and he's seeking to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. He plays dirty. He's chasing after us. But when you submit to God, suddenly you have kingdom authority. And then you turn back around and resist the devil. Well, the Bible says he flees from you, and that translates he runs for his life. So first of all, he's running after you, trying to take out your life. When you remember who you are and you have a fear of God enough to say, my life matters, what I do matters, I need to make sure I'm in every way surrendered to God, then you've got some authority to turn around and say, enemy, you don't get to talk to me that way. You don't get to mess with my family that way. You've got authority. You can resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. Well, the rest of that verse, so it starts out, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The rest of the verse says, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. So to the degree that we understand who God is and that we honor him as such, will we walk in the fullness and the power that he's made available to us? To the degree that we appropriately honor and fear him, will we experience him for who he is? Do you want to experience God on a whole new level? Well, then honor him for who he is. If we don't give God the honor he deserves, we'll never get to know him for who he is. So Proverbs 9:10 can be translated this way: to stand in awe of God and to give him the glory and the honor he deserves is the doorway to knowing him deeply, experiencing him profoundly, and understanding him more fully. We actually gain insight by giving glory to God. The more we get to know God for who he really is, the more we'll walk in wisdom and power and authority. Do you want to walk in wisdom, power, and authority? Pause and know that he is God. I'm going to play a song by Chris Tomlin. His brand new album, Love Ran Red, will rock your world. And this song, Almighty, just puts him in his proper place where he belongs. So if you're driving, listening, wherever you're listening from, just pause, cease driving, know that he is God. Listen to this song. So glad you tuned in today. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. We're talking about what it means to be wise. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to unpack the acronym WISE and what it means for us and why it matters. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You reign alone upon your throne of righteousness.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Hour 2 of Live the Promise. We're taking this hour just to unpack what wisdom means. And so at the first part of the hour, we are unpacked Proverbs 9:10 about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Putting God in his rightful place suddenly opens your eyes to who he is, who you are, and why you're on the earth today. And so I unpacked it. If you just tuned in, you might want to go back and listen, but I'm just going to read again just the expanded translation then of Proverbs 9:10. To stand in awe of God and give him the glory and honor he deserves is the doorway to knowing him deeply, experiencing him profoundly, and understanding him more fully. We actually gain insight by giving glory to God. The more we get to know God for who he really is, the more we will walk in wisdom, power, and authority. So here I'm going to take the word wise as an acronym and just break it down about wisdom, especially when you find yourself in the ditch, when you lose perspective of who you are, whose you are, who God is. And so the W in the word wise is worships the Lord. The wise person worships the Lord. I'm going to unpack three aspects of what it means to worship God for who he is in spirit and in truth and with a heart of thanksgiving. Well, I already established a little bit who he is, that the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the living God. The earth trembles at his voice, at the blast of his breath. The bottom of the ocean can be seen. And when you really look into who God is, you'll actually love how he is. Look at scripture. Look what makes him mad. You know what he hates? In Proverbs, it talks about the things he hates. He hates pride and posturing and people who stir up trouble, who are gossipy and say things just to cause friction. He hates that. He loves the broken. He loves the humble. He loves the sinner who cannot get it together. He is near to the brokenhearted and the humble. Don't you love a God like that? The greatest force in the universe, the one who put the stars in place, loves humility, loves the broken, and he hates prideful posturing. Makes me love him all the more, I'm telling you. Well, Woman of Faith speaker Angie Smith, we've had her on the show a number of times. And as you know, we always open the show to asking about scripture. And she chose this one particular day, Psalm 147, verses 3 and 4. And here it is. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Angie went on to say about, talk about a time where her family went on a cruise and her little daughter saw this woman who was battling cancer. She had no hair and had a scarf over her head. And her Angie's little girl scooted up next to her and said to this woman, "You see the sky? Jesus made it. You see the water? Jesus made that too. You see the birds? Jesus made them." And then she paused for a brief moment and said, "But I don't think Jesus can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich," which is so adorable. And Angie expressed how most of us believe that same thing, that he's big enough to set the stars in place, but not small enough to intervene in our lives in a way that matters to us. But he is. So when you pray and you worship and you pause first, remember who it is you're talking to, the one who put the stars in place, binds up our wounds. Worship the Lord for who he is. But worship him in spirit and in truth as well. In John 4, we read about the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus. And there's this point where he's addressing the sin in her life, and she sidesteps and starts to ask him religious questions because she's like, "I don't really want to talk about this stuff getting too close to home. Let's talk about something else." And he said, "My Father's looking for those worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth." And I studied that, and it means to be led, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth part is with accuracy, with engagement, with a heart connection. Now, all of us have shown up at church at different times where we're singing the songs, the worship songs, and we're running through our grocery list in our head. I mean, that happens. When it happens, re-engage. But on a deeper level, there are times we go through the Christian motions while we're totally disengaged in our heart, and maybe our hearts are in a totally different place. And God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. It means to bring accuracy to your story, into his presence, because he's the one who can do something about it. So when you sing those worship songs about, "I see the Holy One high and exalted," or "I'm going to put my flag in the ground because you will come through for me," to sing it and engage your story in it is something happens in the spiritual atmosphere when you worship in spirit and in truth. When you bring accuracy to your story and you engage with the power of the Holy Spirit and you worship God accordingly, not just the way you sing your songs, but the way you show up to life, something changes in the spiritual atmosphere. But when you just start to go through the motions, when you're sort of rote in your relationships, rote in the way that you pray, rote in how you go through all your Christian activities, but your heart isn't in it, guess what? God still loves you. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose your influence, because when you disengage your heart, you disengage your faith. And so when you're just going through the motions, singing the songs, going to Bible study, not really letting it sink into your story, nothing changes in the spiritual atmosphere. So engage your heart. Engage your story when you worship God, when you show up. Lean in and listen, because God is speaking. So worship Him for who He is. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And worship Him with a heart of thanksgiving. Be thankful. There's always reasons to give thanks. I want you to think about what you're going through right now. What's bothering you? Now look up. Look up and worship God and bring Him into your story. We're going to hear a portion of a song right before we go to break. I think we have time to get most of it if we can, Matt. It's called Lead Me to a Rock. It's from Emmanuel Live. Let's listen, because you might just need this song today because you're having a hard time getting perspective. Let's listen. Taking a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're talking about what it means to be wise. Only Jesus. Oh, boy. I love this topic today. We're talking about what it means to be wise. And so if you're walking through a tough time and you feel sort of tangled up in your circumstances, I'm breaking down the word wise, using it as an acronym to just look at how we find wisdom again in our circumstances. And Scripture says the fear of the Lord is just the beginning of wisdom. If you need wisdom about your circumstances, pause and remember who God is. And so the W in the word wise is to worship Him for who He is. And I'm telling you, this works. If your gut is tied up in a knot, or you're disappointed or scared or frustrated, put on some great worship music and just put God in His rightful place on the throne of your heart, just putting Him above your circumstance, saying, God, this doesn't surprise You. You are still God. Your promises are true. I'm going to worship You because You are God and You deserve it. It will do something for your soul as you remind your soul who God is. So worship God for who He is. Well, the I in the word wise, I'm going to talk about two things, intimacy and identity. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "Abide in Me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in Me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." Do you hear that? Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And that's why the enemy wants to work so hard to get us striving in our own strength. So it's wise to abide in God, to cultivate a heart of intimacy. That's the place that you bear much fruit. In fact, Jesus says, it's to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So the closer you walk with God, the more fruitful your life becomes. And the more intimate that you are with God, the more of a chance He has to download His dream for your life. And you know what it means to abide? It means to be held. It means to be kept continually. And it means to be pliable. Are you moldable in God's hand? Do you entrust your story to Him in such a way that you can give Him access to your story, to your dreams, your future, your hopes? Is He allowed to touch on certain things in your life and ask you about them and speak to you about them? Are you pliable? Are you tucking yourself in the shadow of His wing? Because it's in that place where dreams are conceived. Dreams are conceived in intimacy with God. And dreams are achieved through intimacy with God. So as you walk closely with Him, He'll start to speak to your heart and your soul about your best case scenario. And as you start to walk it out, you'll realize you can't do this on your own. As the Scripture says, you can't do this on your own. But as you continue to cultivate intimacy, that's where you'll see the much fruit. That's where you'll see the dream achieved. And there's just something to be said about that steady, continual, consistent walk with God. And so I'm going to say this with great care, with no judgment in my voice. I pray you don't hear judgment in my voice, because it's just an observation I've made, something I've learned. And if it applies to you, then great. But Kevin and I oversaw a youth group for about 5 years. And we noticed this even with kids, where the kids who are hit and miss with coming to youth group just once a month, those were the kids whose parents would call us and say, "Our kids feel so disconnected." And we would say, "Oh, get them here more often," because there's something about showing up and showing up. And showing up. So maybe you're that one of those people that just sometimes you spend time with God, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you go to church, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you read your Bible, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you tithe, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you walk in faith, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you believe the truth about your identity, and sometimes you don't. Well, hear me in this. If you've received Christ's sacrifice for your sins and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, listen, you are saved. And guess what else? You're loved, and nothing will ever change that. You're not saved by works or trying hard enough. You're saved by grace. But let me say this. I've noticed something about those who stay in the game when they get knocked down and they get back up again. They don't walk perfect, but they walk faithfully. You know what I've noticed? A power and a momentum in their lives, like an accumulative anointing, for lack of a better phrase. But there's something about this perpetual one foot in front of the other, in front of the other. And what I've noticed about those who are hit and miss Christians, sort of one foot in and one foot out. Again, you're still saved, you're still loved, but what's changed, what's impacted is your story and your influence. 1 Corinthians 1:5-6 says this, "For in Him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge." Well, the word enriched in the Greek is plousios, where we get the word plutocrat, which means extreme or vast material wealth. Well, plutocrat refers to a person who's so prosperous that his handlers cannot determine at any point exactly how much he's worth, because his interest keeps accruing at such a rate. There's not ever a definitive number. And so Rick Renner made that observation out of this passage, that there's an accumulative spiritual wealth for those of us who walk consistently with God. And maybe you've noticed that. Maybe you've met an old saint who's just walked faithfully with God. They know something of him that you don't know. They've experienced something of him that you've not yet. They carry a wisdom and a power and a grounding in their lives that you just want. When I find saints who've walked a long time with God, I just want to rub shoulders with them and ask them questions, because there's an accumulative spiritual wealth that they carry in them, because one foot in front of the other, they're walking with God. There's something very wise about cultivating intimacy with God. And in that place of just consistency, it's just easier to grasp your identity in Christ. And as Scripture says, knowing the Holy One results in understanding. So, okay, so we've talked about it's wisdom to worship the Lord. That's the W. It's wisdom to cultivate intimacy and get your identity. Well, the third thing, the S in the word wise, is Scripture, stands on Scripture. And in the book of Nehemiah, we read about how while God's people sought to do the work of the Lord, the enemy stirred up trouble and stirred up people to distract and discourage this work. And so I love this verse in Nehemiah 4:18. It says, each of the builders had a sword strapped to his side as he worked. Love that. Picture that, your Bible just strapped to your side as your sword. Most of us don't keep our sword strapped to our side, but we need to. We need to know God's word and know it's true for us. And here is a truth. Grasp this, I hope you can. The more distance between you and the Word, the greater the opportunity for the enemy to deceive you and blindside you. The more distance between you and the Word of God, the greater the opportunity for that enemy to deceive you and blindside you. And as Scripture says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what does it mean that it's living? Well, it means it's fresh, strong, efficient, and powerful. So the Bible, it's not old news, it's the good news. The Bible is living, fresh, efficient, and powerful. So whatever problem you have, there is a promise in Scripture for you. And as you get your face in that Word and you say, Word of God, speak to me, God will give you a Word that's living, active, efficient, fresh. You'll know it's your promise with your name on it. And so the battles will come, but you need your sword. So don't let distance happen between you and the Word of God. And just last week, we had Jennifer Kennedy Dean on. She's been on a number of times. She's a great Bible teacher. And she said something, I think it was two or three times ago when she was on, but it has not left me. And she said this, you have to know what you cannot see. Hear it again. You have to know what you cannot see. There will be times when you pray, nothing seems to change, and you'll be tempted to despair. That's when you have to know what you cannot see. So what do you know? Do you know that he's true, that he will come through for you? That one day your faith will become sight and you will see with your eyes. Know what you cannot see. And the more you come to know God and his word, the more often your emotions will be able to rest on his promises before the answer comes. So knowing God and knowing his word makes us mighty in battle. And one of my favorite Bible scholars, Dr. Warren Wiersbe, wrote this, as helpful and necessary as theological studies are, the most important requirements for Bible study are a yielded heart and an obedient will. Some of the best Bible teachers I've known, he says, in my ministry were men and women who learned the truth of God's word on their knees and on the battlefield of life. They were spirit-taught, not man-taught. So hear this again. Whatever problem you're facing, there's a promise for you. Are you insecure? Well, here's a verse, 1 John 4:16. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. You need assurance that God is with you? Well, here's a verse, Psalm 18:35. You give me your shield of victory. Your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. I love that passage. Maybe you tend to strive in your own strength. Well, here's a verse for you, Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I love that verse. That know and that word is intimacy. So in the places of your striving and your restlessness in your life, know God there. Instead of trying to clamor and climb and grab for yourself, trying to find the answer on your own, shift your weight to him and say, Lord, I want to know you. In my finances, I want to know you. In my marriage, let me know you more. In my heartache, in my dreams, let me know you more. He loves to answer prayers like that. Maybe your struggles with addiction or temptation. Well, here's a verse for you, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man, and God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Maybe the enemy is just messing with you. Well, I quote this verse a lot, Luke 10:19, for I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. A wise person spends time in God's Word because it's fresh, efficient, living, and powerful. So to be wise is to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's to cultivate a lifestyle of intimacy with Him and get your identity from Him. It's to stand on Scripture. Don't let distance come between you and God's Word. Nothing else matters more. Cancel other plans if you have to, but get in God's Word. And finally, the E in the word wise is engages your faith. Engage your faith. Ephesians 6:16 says, in every battle, you'll need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish every flaming arrow of the enemy. Well, the Greek word for that passage is dunamis, where we get dynamite, the word dynamite, which means explosive power. And if you've ever read Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness, I'm telling you, I read it, I don't know, 20 years ago, and it changed my prayer life. But it's such a visual of spiritual warfare. So I'm going to try to paint a picture for you, thinking about the arrows the enemy aims at you. He's got your number. He knows your insecurities and your fears, your hot buttons, your unhealed areas. He knows what one person could say to you that could ruin your day. He knows how to aim the arrows. Well, in Ephesians 6:16, it says that we have a shield to block every arrow the enemy sends our way. And so we've got to know how to stand. We've got to know what our rights are, spiritually speaking. When you raise your shield in authority in Christ, you ignite explosive power. And I want you to, here's the word picture I want to just portray, kind of like what you would read out of something like This Present Darkness. But that those arrows are coming at you. I want you to picture like a spirit of discouragement coming at you like this big winged bat, you know, flying towards you, and it's just ready to spew discouragement. And you raise up your shield of faith because you see it coming. You just sense that that enemy is just harassing you. And, you know, you just on the count of three say, one, two, three, no. And you put your shield up and say, no, you cannot do this to me. You cannot have my children. You can't devastate my finances. You can't ruin my city. You can't have my nation. You can't have the things God has promised me. When you learn to say no to the enemy with that shield of faith, raising it up, I want you to picture that winged bat scurrying, flipping, tip-topping over in the atmosphere where he just goes flying because of the explosive power of your faith. Study Ephesians 6 because it's really where it teaches you about what we have, the weapons of our warfare, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Raise your shield and declare, if God is for me, who can stand against me? It is for freedom that Christ has set me free, and I'm going to live free, and I'm going to make a difference in this world. Well, I want you to think about this for just a moment. It only takes just a moment to land in the ditch emotionally for our day to go south. And so how do you reset your course again when you feel like the enemy got a shot in and you are just in the ditch? You worship God in spirit and in truth, right? You cultivate intimacy. Remember who you are. Keep your identity intact because it's never up for grabs, even when it feels like it. You get in the Word again. You stand on Scripture, and then you engage your faith. Well, as you know, we start out the second hour of Live the Promise every day with Mercy Me Song Greater. I love this song. And here's that chorus again. There are days when I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter because the cross has already won the war. I am learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more. I'm going to play a song now. It's called I Will Boast. This is also from Chris Tomlin's album. And when I come back, I want to leave you with two very important points about wisdom that we must not forget. But first, let's listen to I Will Boast.
Scars of grace, the scars.
Absolutely beautiful. Talking this second hour about wisdom and why it matters. Using WISE as an acronym, we're talking about what it means to be wise. W is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I is intimacy, cultivate. It's wise to cultivate intimacy with God and to get your identity from Him. S is to stand on Scripture, and E is to engage our faith. And so when you find yourself in the ditch emotionally or losing perspective and you need wisdom, just look at that. Look up and worship God. First, just put Him back on the throne room of your heart, of your life. Just put Him in His rightful place. And then remember what it is to walk in intimacy with Him and get your identity from Him. Find some promises from Scripture because they're in there for you. And then engage your faith. Put that shield up and tell that enemy where he needs to go, all right? So 2 points now before we go. 2 important points about wisdom. One is you can have as much as you want. Oh, we need to take a great quick break. I totally forgot. And this is live radio. Don't you love it when that happens? We're taking a quick break. Then I'm going to tell you the 2 important points you can't forget about wisdom.
Cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry.
Really hope you found some encouragement today where we're talking the second hour about what it means to be wise and why it matters. And if you just tuned in, I hope you'll go back and listen to the podcast. Just some great conversation. 2 important points I want to leave you with about wisdom. Okay, one is you can have as much as you want. 2, you can't take credit for it. 1, you can have as much as you want. 2, you can't take credit for it. Very important. James 1:5 says, if you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it, and God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly and never scolds you for asking. So I can promise you, you'll never get an eye roll from God if you're asking for wisdom. When my boys were young, we plopped them all on our bed. We'd have a lot of our family meetings all piled on the bed together. And I said, boys, what if you had an account with your name on it and you could make as many withdrawals as you wanted anytime? And they all said, I would make withdrawals every day, sometimes several times a day. And I said, I kind of feel like that's the case when it comes to wisdom. It's like the best kept secret in the Bible, that there's wisdom that God offers you and you can make, you can lay hold of it as many times as you need to, ask for it as often as you need it. And as a young mom in that place, I'm sitting on the bed with my boys, I thought, I'm going to ask for wisdom every single day of my life, multiple times a day. You can have as much wisdom as you want. And as you draw from the wisdom of God, it will impact how you navigate through life. But here's that other important point. You can't take credit for it. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and shun evil. In other words, when you're wise in your own eyes, you're not fearing God and you won't have the wisdom to shun evil. Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe, think about that. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? Listen to this. There's more hope for a fool than for them. So I wondered about that, thought about it, cross-referenced, studied. When we're wise in our own eyes, we become either pagans or Pharisees. When we're wise in our own eyes, we become either pagans or Pharisees. We either think, I got this, and we land ourselves in the ditch, and we become very worldly, very carnal, or Pharisees, impossible to live with. And so it's downright unwise and even dangerous to think for a moment that you don't need God, that you can make it on your own. So a wise person fears God and trusts Him with their whole life. And so I want you to picture just a picture, a beautiful picture of water pouring into a vase. And that water, that main picture, is just God pouring into you. He pours into you. We will grow in grace and strength as we walk consistently and powerfully with God. As you start to apply these things to your life and really make walking with God a top priority, you're going to grow in grace and strength. You will walk in increased authority and power. You'll operate in wisdom that's not of this world. In fact, the Bible says that our star-breathing God confides in those who fear Him. He tells secrets to us. He's going to tell you things that are hidden from the rest of the world. Imagine that. Everywhere you place your feet, God's kingdom comes to earth. You'll walk in power and authority and influence. Now, we don't pursue wisdom for that purpose, but the fact of the matter is, as you walk intimately with God, He entrusts you with the treasures of heaven. And the temptation will be to think, I'm powerful because I'm a seasoned Christian. I walk in authority because I know how to shout when my point is weak. I'm wise because I'm so good at studying my Bible. After all these years, I finally know how to do this Christian thing. And I tell you, be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. Because 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this, but we have this treasure in these jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure. So we are vessels. We are masterpieces. But the power, the wisdom, the authority, that's God's. It comes from him. He fills us. And as my friend Joanna Weaver says, so he can spill us. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. But I want to tell you, I do the Lord's Prayer pretty much every morning during my prayer time. And I love it. And I'm such a visual person that I often picture when I'm doing the Lord's Prayer, like the scene on Lion King, when all the animals are just a sea of animals and they're bowing down to the Lion King. I always put myself in the masses with people. And when I say our Father, I'm one of many, but I'm also one. You know, we're not more special than the other, but we are special to God. You're one of many. There's lots of us out there who are living for God and want to do great things for him, and he intends to use us. But you are one. He's no respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. So will you walk intimately with him? And will you understand with a reverent, holy fear that you carry this treasure in this earthen vessel so that you can know that the powers of God and not of you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us afresh with the knowledge of who you are, that we would see on a whole new level that you are God and you are coming again. Forgive us for the ways we've casually approached your throne when you are most holy. When the angels sing, holy, 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 may we not get so casual we forget your majesty, your grace, and your power. You are God. Thank you for the freedom to celebrate who you are. Thank you for filling us with your spirit. Help us to live in a manner worthy of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you tuned in today. You have been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of both hours up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I want to give you a heads up. The Great Giveaway is coming, and we've got some new fun things to add to the Great Giveaway. So keep an ear bent towards us, because we're going to tell you all about that coming up in the days ahead. Have a blessed day. Drive careful, and remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a blessed day. Thank you.